Okay, so this talk will be on adapting the stereoscopic movies to the viewing conditions and how depth is affected by viewing conditions and how to fix this using novel view synthesis. So we all know by now that projecting a stereoscopic movie on different screen sizes produces different perceptions of depth. This has been known since the Spottiswood. And theoretically, a stereoscopic movie should be shot for a given viewing condition, so either for a movie theater or for 3D TV. That's not the way it's done, but this is theoretically. And we know that depth distortion or even eye divergence may happen for different viewing geometries, that is, for different screen sizes, screen distance, and those factors have a strong impact on depth distortion. Novel view synthesis or new view synthesis should be a possible solution, but we have to think about what is the best geometric transform that minimizes depth distortion and avoids divergence. And the problem with most novel view synthesis methods is that disturbing artifacts may appear in the synthesized views. So we propose to only synthesize one view and to blur out artifacts in the other view. So this is the classical representation of a shooting geometry where we have cameras at the bottom represented by the optical centers, focal length, and convergence angle. But in this talk, I will be using a more simple shooting geometry where we only care about the camera baseline here, the distance to the convergence plane, and the width of the convergence plane. Actually, all these parameters can be deduced from the previous parameters. And this simplifies a lot the equations, as we will see. What we notice with these parameters is that we can use the same parameters for the shooting and for the viewing geometry. So the camera baseline, for example, for the camera, it's the camera interocular, and for the display, of course, it's the eye interocular. The convergence distance becomes the screen distance, and the width of the convergence plane becomes the screen size, whereas z, the real depth, becomes the perceived depth in the viewer geometry. And the common parameter that is shared between the two is the disparity, of course, which is, in this case, expressed as a fraction of w, the screen size, or the width of the convergence plane, so that is it is unitless. So with this simple definition, we can express, of course, z as a function of the disparity d, and we can express d as a function of z. And we have the same equations, but with primes, so h prime, w prime, and b prime, which are the display parameters. So as I said, d is the same as the both geometries. So by substituting d, we can express the perceived depth z prime as a function of real depth. And what we notice in this graph here is that, in general, it's highly nonlinear. So we have here the well-known effects of hypostereo, where the perceived depth on the y-axis is reduced with respect to real depth, and the hyperstereo in the red case. And we even notice that we can get eye divergence if z prime becomes negative, that is, in the previous equations, that is, if d is greater than b prime over w prime. So this can happen. Another important fact is an important measure is the roundness factor. So the roundness factor rho defines tells us if a sphere which is placed at depth c appears as a flattened disk or as an elongated ellipsoid. And so we can compute rho as a function of all the previous parameters, but what is interesting is in particular the roundness factor on the screen or in the convergence plane, which is very simple. And as you can notice, it does not depend on the screen size. So screen size does not change the roundness factor of objects that are in the convergence plane. And another thing that we can deduce from all these equations is that the only shooting geometries that preserve the roundness factor everywhere in the scene are scaled down or homothetic versions or scaled up versions of the viewing geometry. So you have to place the cameras to compute all the, for example, the distance to the convergence plane with respect to the distance to the screen plane in the viewing geometry. So that's, in practice, this is completely impossible to hold this constraint, especially in situations where you have to place the cameras far away from the scene, such as sports or wildlife. So what we propose is, of course, to use novel view synthesis to fix the roundness factor issue, so the fact that, in general, the roundness factor is not one in the convergence plane. So this can be done several ways. So the classical way is to do what we call baseline modification. So what we do with baseline modification is to virtually change the distance between the two cameras. So this can fix the on-screen roundness factor, but off-screen depth is distorted this way. So the depth of objects that are not on in the convergence plane is distorted. And it may cause eye divergence in some cases. The best way would be to do viewpoint modification, that is, to synthesize new viewpoints exactly where we should have put the cameras. So this gives perfect depth, of course, and roundness factor. But in practice, this is difficult to do because, as we will see, there are large disoccluded areas that appear in the synthesized images. So we propose a hybrid solution between the two, which is hybrid disparity images, which fixes the on-screen roundness factor, which does not distort depth, and does not cause eye divergence. There are still some remaining distortions, as we will see. So with baseline modification, the synthesized baseline is simply computed by setting the roundness factor of the screen to 1. And we can do view interpolation if the synthesized baseline is smaller than the shooting baseline, or extrapolation. And it could be done symmetric or asymmetric. That is, we can synthesize the two views, or we can just synthesize one view and left the other view untouched. So this is the effect. So in light gray, we have the original shooting geometry. In darker gray here, we have the synthesized viewpoints, and here is how the scene appears in the viewer space. So here I draw the tree here, which is not visible in the viewer space, and the house. And you see, this is just to show the effect on depth and size. So in this case, all the 3D geometry is distorted except in the screen plane, and eye divergence may happen. So in the viewpoint modifications case, as I told you, the main problem is the disocclusions that appear. So it will produce many holes and image artifacts in the synthesized views. Here's another example. So we shoot with large focal length, and in the viewing space, we have to use smaller focal length. So we have to synthesize these viewpoints, these two viewpoints here. And so this tree, which was not visible in the original views, becomes visible in the synthesized view. So what should we put here? We don't have anything in the images. So this will be a hole in the novel views. And what we propose is hybrid disparity remapping, where we set the roundness factor on the screen to be 1. And we also set another constraint, which is that the perceived depth should be proportional to the real depth. So when we mix this up, we found out that we get the same disparity as in the viewpoint modification case, but we have no depth-dependent image scaling, which is due to the different focal lengths used in the viewpoint modification. So in this case, depth is preserved because of this, and the roundness factor is 1 on the screen, but image scale is not respected for off-screen object. That is, faraway objects may appear larger in XY dimensions than they really are. So that's just like when you zoom in with the 2D cameras where farther objects appear bigger than they should be. So this is just to illustrate the effect. So depth is preserved in that case, and XY scale is distorted, so the objects may be larger on the screen. This is a small toy example to show the disoccluded areas in the baseline modification case. So this is just one view remapped to the synthesized view with the viewpoint modification where you see the large disoccluded areas. And with the hybrid disparity remapping where we have depth, no eye divergence, depth is preserved, and we have no large disoccluded areas as here. And another question is how to deal with the vergence accommodation conflict, because we don't really want to generate perceived depth that is proportional to the read depth because of that vergence accommodation conflict. As you know, human depth of field is about 0.2 or 0.3 diopters. So for a screen placed at 3 meters, that's a 3D TV screen, it would go from 1.9 meters to 7.5 meters. So you should not draw any in-focus objects outside of this range, which translates to this disparity range, minus 3.8 to 2.6 centimeters. So that's far below the 6.5 centimeters for infinity limit. So what we can do is use the hybrid disparity mapping again to set the on-screen roundness factor to 1. And to add the constraint that the disparity at infinity is no more than 2.6 centimeters. So this can be easily done by synthesizing new views, not for a screen that has the size of the 3D TV screen, but a screen placed at the same distance, but 2.5 times wider. 2.5 comes from the factor between the two disparity limits. So you just synthesize the screen for a wider screen, images for a wider screen, and then you stay within these disparity limits. And similarly, we can play with the on-screen roundness factor just by changing the synthesized screen distance. So once we have all this, what we want to do is the novel view synthesis. So this is basically done using the two images and two disparity maps, left to right and right to left, and synthesizing a novel view by blending and stuff like that. But most of the time, you get artifacts in the synthesized view, which are a few pixels wide, usually, very, very local in the images. And these are high-frequency artifacts. So they may become very disturbing for the eye because we notice them. Because of their high frequency. So what we propose is to remove this artifact, to detect this artifact first, and then to remove these. So our approach relies on using asymmetric synthesis so that one view keeps the highest possible image quality and we will only modify the other view. So this is possible with either baseline modification or hybrid disparity mapping. We will detect artifacts in the synthesized view and blur out the artifact by anisotropic filtering. So why this should work is because this locally, basically what this does is locally reduce the high frequency content only on of the images, only on artifacts. And what we hope is that the visual system will use other 3D cues from the other view, which is the untouched view, to perceive the 3D in these areas. So this is motivated by work by Stelmach and Sentience, which say that when you have two views with different image quality, one which is blurred out and the other which is not blurred, then the perceived quality is this of the non-blurred version, the non-blurred image. And the temporal consistency should not be critical because of low spatial frequency of the artifact, but this is still to be validated. So how do we detect the artifacts? Well, we say that in the interpolated image, we should have the same colors as the original images, of course. So we have two disparity maps that map the interpolated image back to the original images, and we use this. And also the Laplacian of the image colors should be similar too, because an edge, a new edge, cannot appear in the synthesized image. So using this by mixing this and using some small tricks, we compute a confidence map, which combines both, and we use it as the conduction function, which is C here in this equation, in the per-anomalic anisotropic diffusion equation. So this is what the conduction looks like. So where it's black, there's high conduction, so this will be blurred out. And here you see there's a double contour on the face, which will be blurred out also. And all the white points are left untouched in the images. You will notice here, this black spot is a specular reflection in the eye, which is actually non-consistent between the two images. So one drawback of this method is that we also remove the specular reflection. So this is the original interpolated frame with the artifacts here. And this is the frame with the artifact removed. So I can play with the two to show you the difference. And this is, should play, does not play. Sorry, I will just check. Oh, yes, it plays, actually. It's playing. Okay, so you see here, it's the baseline interpolation, and the baseline goes from 0 to 1. So you see the curtain in the back is moving, and you see the artifacts here that appear on the border of the guy. And this is with artifact removed. So we still have some artifacts, actually, but those are low frequency and should be less disturbing for the human eye. So as a conclusion, so we presented a disparity transform, a novel view synthesis method based on hybrid disparity remapping, which solves most issues caused by classical novel view synthesis methods. And we use asymmetric synthesis to help preserving the perceived quality of the stereoscopic movie. And artifact removal is performed by detecting and blurring out artifacts in the synthesized view. So, of course, the next step is to validate this on real viewers and a complete panel of viewers, and maybe to further work on the artifact removal part. So I had a demo movie, but unfortunately it doesn't play here. So maybe it will be shown in a later session. And this work was done within a national project in France, which is called 3D Life on live transmission of stereoscopic events. So thank you.
Thank you very much. We have time for one question. Anybody? Is there a question over there? He's bringing a mic over for you.
So perceived depth, I think, was just a geometric calculation, right?
Yes.
There
are other 3D cues, but I only use a stereoscopic cue to compute the.
Yeah, so I wondered, can you speculate about how accurately those calculations would actually predict what people would see in depth?
Well, they would be 100% accurate on random dot stereograms, for example, where there's no other 3D cues than this. But on you can even see 3D on a 2D view. So I haven't measured this, so this should be investigated. You're right.
Thank you very much. We're running a little late, so.